I ask a question that kind of ties together some things you guys were saying here? You were talking about in the States, you know, your mother, your grandmother could buy a house quite easily, and now it's to the point.
Yeah, not my grandma. But
okay, yeah. Well, relatively speaking, I mean,
depends on where you want to live, man. You can come down to West Virginia, still get into the house.
But post-war, yeah. And we're talking about our grandparents to
right.
a certain degree.
People from West Virginia.
What?
Are you people from West Virginia?
I am.
West Virginia.
Carneysville?
Martinsburg.
You get the fuck out of town. Martinsburg? Motown? No way. No, sorry, not Motown. The Berg. Are you serious?
That's where my people live. My family's raising a lot.
Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Been to Shepherdstown?
No. I'm hanging with my family. We don't.
Holy shit.
They don't leave a lot.
Martinsburg. Okay, that's. I was born about 15 minutes away from it and lived there the first 13 years of my life. It's not the happiest place. I love it.
I'm sorry for that.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
what were you saying?
I got a chance to gather my thoughts. Today, very difficult for people to buy a home.
Yeah.
And Matthew, you're talking about sort of this terrible example that's being set, or terrible precedent that's being set. For China or for other places, what have you. The only thing I would add to that is we're on the cusp in North America on one of the most massive transfers of wealth from a dying baby boom population in Canada and the United States. And so these are sort of industrial age workers who have worked their whole lives, saved up a whole bunch of money, invested, and they're all about to die. And that money's going somewhere, whether it's to the kids, whether it's to charity, whether it's to somewhere. And there's going to be this massive transfer of wealth that perhaps people didn't actually work for,
yeah.
and they're going to receive. And
a huge party.
But doesn't that?
Well, getting money that you didn't work for is a dangerous thing. So if you're saying that a precedent, which is negative, has already been set,
get compounded.
Yeah, this is kind of what I'm getting at. And a lot of these young people that might receive this money that they maybe didn't work for are in this sort of information economy service sector. Freelancers, designers, kind of the sort of floating network of workers that kind of contemporary society.
All of us.
Media perpetuation.
Sure. Now, I'm kind of curious as to how that then, if you're talking about Guangzhou, for example, kind of skipping themselves out of a manufacturing economy to this sort of new service and information economy type work. How does that precedent change? How does what's happening in the West and all the media influences and the consumption influences and the flows back and forth radicalize even more what you're suggesting is happening right now? Because I think if you don't take into account this massive transfer of wealth that's about to happen in North America as a serious tide of what's happening in the global economy, there's a piece missing. Do you know what I'm saying? I just think on an economic level it changes all sorts of production and consumption habits.
Yes.
But on a social, behavioral, and perhaps political level, when you get a bunch of wealth that you didn't work for, that changes a whole lot of fucking things.
It can change a lot. I know, but that's. I think that. I mean, I feel almost bad in some ways, like something I tried to avoid in the first place, which I obviously just didn't. You know, is trying to consistently talk about China as a monolith in a way, as me being like China's this, China's that. You know, it's really hard to sort of subsume 1.4 billion people under a name, and I do feel like what's happening in China is very splintered in different areas. And now I'm sort of taking that question a little bit in such a context, it's almost as a way of avoiding it, because I don't really know how an individual is going to accept. I think that's a really hard thing to say, you know, whether or not this next generation is a generation that's been raised with sort of like a sense of self-respect and, you know, and a duty in a way that will sort of, you know, see that transfer of wealth as an opportunity to change things or as an opportunity for further decadence. And its effects, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's really it's a tough question for me.
Can I ask a silly question?
We're talking a lot about the West or America and Canada as an example for China. I mean, this is my like deep ignorance, but like, is China really looking to America as their example?
Much more so than anywhere else, I would say.
Just in terms of consumption, in terms of quality of life, like comparing America as setting a standard for quality of life, and also for material goods in a big way.
If you look at the city architecturally, and they look a lot to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
You look at it's Hong Kong developers that have stated that have created the physical shape of Beijing, certainly.
Right,
physically, but it's different. Physically, it's different, but I think in terms of an awful lot of the consumption.
It's kind of if you talk to us, I've talked to some Chinese people about their healthcare system, you know? And they're like, our healthcare system sucks, but it's because we based it on the US's, you know? It's kind of like the blaming it, you know? So I think there's a pretty strong influence.
I haven't heard that. Well,
really?
I mean, like,
really?
I've heard how great it is. You go
really?
And you can get, like, surgery.
Yeah, it's way cheaper, but
I mean, they
not,
have, like, universal
not in the countryside.
They have this,
yeah.
No, they have this whole countryside, this new... I don't know,
the quality
professor that, I mean, it may not be the quality, but something that's giving access to everyone, including migrant workers, and that's not something you're able to do in the U.S.
Yeah, I think for basic, very basic medical care, yes.
Yeah.
It's available, cuts, bruises, stuff like that, setting of bones, x-rays. Comes to surgery, like CAT scan equipment, more sort of cutting edge medical technology is
AIDS
or really major, it's really, really, really deficient, and
well, emergencies are really bad here.
Yeah,
because
emergency response is bad, but I would say day to day, it's their social medicine is relatively good. But have you been in a hospital outside of a major urban area? Yeah. Really, good. You can get whatever you want.
Yeah, I agree, but I'm not saying it. I think that's like weird to compare it to American healthcare because I don't.
Well,
know.
I've just heard that comparison. I guess
when I think more about like a bad precedent, I'm thinking more about sort of advertising industry and its marriage to consumptive patterns. And production, and the whole entire,
Advertising is getting really sophisticated here.
That's
really
great.
Well, it's really also like.
I just
want to
kill
like,
them.
It's, like,
it's really just.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah. But
what do you say?
It is
right?
It's very successful in a very disturbing way. I don't know, and I think in those consumptive patterns are. What's going to be really detrimental.
But at the same time, so as Americans, we can say, oh, you know, advertising consumption is really, really horrible, right? But if you look at the countries that don't have this stuff that we have, you know.
I don't think advertising is that bad.
Yeah.
Well, no, advertising.
What are you going
to
do about it?
Well, no. I don't. I'm not trying to say that things, like, there should be no advertising, but I'm saying, like, I think advertising on general is extremely misleading in general.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's. It's horrible. I mean, it's deceived. No, it doesn't have
but.
To be. No, I think that's a very pessimistic view. I think that advertising, you know, at its best should actually represent like a good product. But when you're deceiving consumers, I mean, that's it's a horrible trap to fall into.
I think that's a very generalized statement, though, because you're not just having all, you know, that's not saying like all advertising.
So.
I mean,
I don't think they're all deceiving products. You know,
I don't think it is either.
Like,
but
you're selling
like what exactly are you sort of what is deceiving? Does it frustrating when like brands become more what's the advertising word?
I think I'm talking about like sort of setting into motion like really fast, generating fast consumer cycles, like on turnover on goods, or creating shoddy goods that need to be replaced often. And selling
like when you buy apple juice here and it's mad little and you need like five.
that is definitely an example. I'm also talking about like technology goods, you know, you need to replace your cell phone every eight months to...
Just because you lose yours now.
That's 2 months, actually. you know, it's just this impulse to purchase more on a daily basis. And it goes from clothing to, and Lord knows you've got a problem. And,
where did that come?
Katie, you look beautiful every day.
Walking around looking good. What's your problem, girl?
You know you don't need all that new clothes, girl.
Calling me out.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's just,
Is that something that we can compare to sort of the American situation, the United States situation, maybe in the 50s, for example? I mean, you talk about advertising, it's so much reliant upon the education and the willingness to be swayed of the population, right? I mean, it only works so much as you believe in it.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to, as a consumer, you make choices every single day, you know, that I largely neglect also.
I think you could make that comparison if it was 1950s advertising that was being used in China.
It is in a lot of ways, I would say. Just a lot more high-tech, but in the propaganda of it, I would say it's very similar.
Oh, but forget about the image for a second and think about everything that goes behind the image. I mean, the production of it is a global phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
The statistical modeling that goes into advertising is a contemporary phenomenon. It's not a 1950s phenomenon.
Yeah.
And so they're using, you know, new millennium techniques, maybe with 1950s propaganda. So I think that puts a limit on how appropriate you can say China's consumption today represents or is similar to American consumption in the 1950s from an advertising perspective.
Right, right. Definitely.
Because those techniques, I mean, as soon as people find a technique that works, that's, you know, it disseminates globally in, what, a month?
Yeah.
You know, so there, I don't think it can be treated as a linear process China's catching up to.
No, definitely not.
That's why we need to reinstitute black and white televisions. Throughout the nation again. Create that separation from reality that's still needed from advertising.
So is there a way we can tie all this back together and
no.
bring a conclusion?